Peace and blessings, mamas, babas, brothers and sisters across the globe. I thank you for joining me for the Fruits of Life podcast. I am your host, Omega Fruits. It's been a minute. I thank you for tuning in, and I want to let you know that I'm here again. A lot has transpired in this past 12 plus months. Baby is here, and he's now a toddler. If you listen to my other podcasts, I have spoken about pregnancy. I've spoken about child rearing, parenting. And today we're going to speak about breastfeeding. And I want to let you know that we're going to have a series called The Breastfeeding Diary. And in this series, I would like to invite you all to tell your story, because as mothers of color, we have a story to tell and an experience to share. And just as mothers across the board, nursing mothers across the board, we have a whole lot to share, because there's limited information out there, especially as our children get older. It is somewhat unconventional to nurse our babies after 6 months, after a year, after 2 years. And if some dare nurse after 2 years, sometimes they looked upon with a side eye. But when we check it in traditional and Caribbean cultures, this is the norm, right? So for us, for we who are getting in tune, who are in tune with our roots and this ancestral culture, we are very privileged to be able to nurse our children with awareness and informed decision to provide our children with the nutrients, all the nutrients that they need through our liquid gold. But our story is hardly told, and that's the reason why I am inspired to share this segment with you all. So I ask you, I request that you, and I implore that you be bold enough to link me, drop me an inbox, connect with me, let me know your story so that we can bring you on and also let other mothers know how you have gained from your journey, what you do, what it looks like, what it feels like, what is the nursing experience for the black woman, all right? For the brown woman, right? Grab your cup of chaga or chai tea and enjoy the reasoning. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and drop a review when it's all said and done so that you can help our program grow. Give thanks. All right. Peace and blessings. Do we have Keisha Malkia Kepra on the line?
Peace and blessings, Queen. Yes, you do. I'm here.
Yes, I'm glad that our technology is working. Everything is on the up and up. Welcome to the Fruits of Life podcast. I'm so excited for our conversation today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm really humbled and honored to be able to be on your show and share my experience and share with others.
Absolutely. Definitely. So we're speaking to Keisha Malkia Kepra. I'm going to give a brief intro and then we're going to dive in. So we're going to focus on breastfeeding toddlers and returning to work full time. And since Sister Malkia and I share some similarities, we're going to focus on some differences in terms of our journey. So for starters, we're going to just give a brief introduction. So we're speaking with Keisha Malkia Kepra. You will hear me call her Malkia often because that's just my comfort level. We've known each other
fine.
For some good years.
That's fine. You can people refer to me as either one, so that's fine.
Awesome. All right. So Sister Queen has been married for a strong 6 years and in a committed relationship for 9 years. I think that's important for us to highlight. She's a mother of four, including two birth children, and the children range in ages between 20, 16, 14, and 22 months.
Yes.
we'll touch on that break.
Yeah.
Malkia also has experience in blended families and successful co-parenting, which are two very powerful topics we may explore at some other time in our podcast. She's also a licensed clinical social worker specializing in children and families. She's worked as a school social worker and is currently working full-time in a therapeutic high school in New Jersey. She's health conscious, promoting a whole foods, mostly plant-based lifestyle, has been practicing parenting with her beautiful 22-month-old baby girl. And we're going to dive in and uncover some jewels that our Sister Queen has for us today. So I'm interested in this conversation with you because we do have some similar parenting styles. We both have a 16-year-old and a toddler. We are both breastfeeding our toddler, and our stories are different because now you have returned to work full time and you're balancing life, being a nursing mom, you know, being a wife, maintaining a home. So I'm sure your story is going to bring some light upon many women's experiences. So let us dive right in, and maybe you can get us started by describing your parenting style.
Sure. So I would say my parenting style with my toddler in particular, the 22-month-old, is definitely rooted in attachment parenting. When I was pregnant with her, I honestly wasn't aware of this term of attachment parenting. But I knew that I wanted to breastfeed her. I knew that I wanted to have a very close connection. I did things a little bit different with my 16-year-old. Two of my children are not my birth children because we're a blended family. So the 16-year-old is my birth child and the 22-month-old. So with my 16-year-old, I was much younger. I did things a little bit differently, and seeing just mistakes that I've made along the way, things that I feel like I could have done differently. When I was pregnant with my baby, with my toddler, I just knew that I wanted a different parenting experience. I wanted my child to have a different experience of me as her mother. So breastfeeding was really important to me, because I know that in addition to all of the nutritional benefits, but that it fosters just that close bonding and connection that I really wanted us to have, just that secure foundation. I knew that I wanted to wear her, as the term is now, baby wearing, as another way to promote a close connection. But also for me, it has it's rooted in a cultural connection, because right. Women on the continent of Africa for thousands and thousands of years have worn their babies. So that was something that was important to me also. Being able to be home with her as much as possible in the first, at least the first few years of life, was really important to me. So as actually when she was a newborn, I just started researching, just, you know, when different things would come up, I would search on Google. And that's when I first came across this attachment parenting term, and learned that there was a whole, you know, there's just a whole body of information related to attachment parenting. And I started reading more about it, and it really was just natural for me to gravitate towards that, because it aligned with my own values as a parent, the type of connection that I wanted to have with my daughter. So it just felt right. So I just started reading more literature on attachment parenting. And also, me being a clinical social worker, I have my bachelor's in psychology and my master's in social work. So I've studied various, you know, psychological theories, and attachment theory was one of them that I have been familiar with. And throughout my years in my professional experience, was very interested in attachment theory. I've been to a few workshops, and just on understanding the importance of that attachment between caregiver and child in those first few years, and how that impacts the child's future relationships. And in my work, just the various relationships and dysfunctional, functional relationships that I've seen has been very interesting to me. And so attachment theory has been a way to kind of, for me, to really like be able to understand these relationships. So it kind of aligned with the attached, you know, it's pretty aligned with attachment parenting style. So I would say that's pretty much how I came to this, to kind of identifying my parenting style with her as being one of attachment parenting.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So there is this natural inclination and gravitation toward these practices such as detachment and breastfeeding, baby wearing, which are intrinsic, but yet now researched, thoroughly researched and documented, right. Which right. is awesome because now we can scientifically prove the benefits right. of these natural practices. These so thank you for sharing that. So now your baby is 22 months, and have you been solely breastfeeding in terms of excluding formula throughout these 22 months?
Yes, most definitely. For me, that was very important because of my own understanding of the nutritional benefit of breast milk, the attachment that baby and mother form through the breastfeeding, and just my own research on some of the negative impacts of formula. So I was very adamant about not wanting my daughter to have formula at all. So she has been exclusively breastfed. And at this point, she's a toddler, so she eats food. But in terms right. she's still, you know, in terms of milk, she only drinks breast milk.
Okay, so now, let's see, for how long do you plan on breastfeeding her or continuing to provide breast milk to your toddler?
I would like to breastfeed her as long as she seems to need it developmentally. So when I say that, I mean emotionally, mentally, physically. According to my research, the American Academy of Pediatrics actually recommends breastfeeding till at least 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And the World Health Organization recommends breastfeeding till at least 3 years old. Hmm. So to me, that says that even these big, you know, organizations have an understanding of the importance of breastfeeding into the toddler years.
Absolutely.
And I see how much it does for her emotionally. So I think that me taking it away before she's ready would have a detrimental impact on her psychologically, emotionally, and have a detrimental impact on our relationship, mother-daughter relationship. So my plan is to breastfeed her as long as she seems to need it.
Great. So you brought up two points that I think are really interesting to highlight. The fact that the APA has recommended 2 years for breastfeeding, and the World Health Organization has recommended 3 years. So I'm saying that's interesting because you don't hear that often, unless if you're thoroughly doing the research, that type of information is not highlighted. For the most part, what we hear more so is that, yeah, you should breastfeed for maybe the first 6 months in this country. Once right. you step outside of this country, we hear more of women breastfeeding for a solid year, 2 years, right. feeling no ways about it. So right. I'm really thankful that you brought up that information and those statistics. And then also, I applaud the fact that you are intuitively and consciously choosing to make that commitment to your daughter to conserve and continue to nurture and cultivate the relationship that she's forming, that she's establishing, that you both are establishing in these early years. I find that to be beautiful. And the
Yes.
fact that you, that always, that does also come back to attachment parenting, where we're establishing standards of relationships, you know?
Right.
I feel like that's really important that you've highlighted the fact that you're not looking to stop breastfeeding because of convenience necessarily,
Right.
even though you're working full time. So we're going to get to
Yeah.
that.
It's not
because
easy, but yeah.
I could imagine,
Yeah.
and I'm sure other women listening are like, well, how does she manage to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so are you breastfeeding on demand, and have you always breastfed on demand, or do you maintain some type of a schedule? And this is, I'm asking, like, before work, before you went back to work,
Yeah.
and also now.
So I've always breastfeeded on demand, or breastfed, excuse me, on demand, and I continue to breastfeed on demand. I mean, now it is a little bit more schedule based, only because there's only a certain time that I'm available to her, because of course when I'm at work, I'm not available for her. But when I am available, then it is on demand, and it was on demand from birth, you know, through now. And I, the reason why I chose to breastfeed on demand is because part of, and this goes along with attachment parenting, is believing in your child and trusting your child, that your child, your baby knows what he or she needs. I don't know when she's hungry. She knows when she's hungry. I don't know when she needs a little extra comfort, a little extra nurturing. She knows that. So to me, breastfeeding on demand develops a sense of trust between me and my child, where she has an understanding, or she, not even understand, cognitive understanding, but she develops the sense that that I trust her. There's a, you know, that there's a trust there, and there's also a security that when she has a need, her need will be met. And something I read that I found was really on point, I'll say, is, and this was in one of Dr. Sears' books, who was a big proponent of attachment parenting. He said that, I think, pretty much in the first, at least the first 6 months, whatever is a want for your child is actually a need. So
right.
A lot of times people will say, oh, you're going to spoil your child if you pick them up too much, or you breastfeed them, you know, every time, you know, any little thing, or if he cries or she cries, and you just breastfeed him. But if the child has a want at that age, it really is a need. And seeing it that way, to me, was helpful at times when I might have, you know, questioned because of what I've heard other people say.
Right.
It was helpful and comforting for me to know that, you know, my child has, it's not just a want, it's a need. It's a need. Mm-hmm. It's a need for security, a need for comfort, a need for touch, a need for affection.
Absolutely. And as I'm listening, I'm thinking to myself, how empowering. I mean, this is so empowering for your child to know that even before developing language, the way that she has been communicating with you, whether it's reaching out, whether it's, you know, a cry or eye contact or pulling on you or what have you, you are responding to her. So there is communication, although
yes.
It's nonverbal. And how empowering is it for her to be answered?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. So that's important. These subtleties, yes, I find, are so important because it helps, yes, make the person.
Right. And I think there's a lot that we don't always, I say we as adults don't always understand or acknowledge, unless you're, you know, in the child development field, and even those in the child development field, it's a lot we don't realize can be attributed to those language years, you know, how our parents responded to us, what our environment was like. Did we feel secure? Did we not feel secure? You know, what were our parents emotionally available for us? So I think there's a lot that impacts us throughout our life that we don't realize is attributed to, or can be attributed to, what those first couple of years look like.
Absolutely.
So I'm just trying to make sure that I cover all the bases.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Absolutely. And it's powerful because oftentimes adults feel that, okay, we are in control of the situation. That like some people really will not consider the fact that their child is speaking and knows what they want, you know, or rather even consider the idea of trusting their child, right? It's more like, oh no, the child has to follow as I do, as I say, or what have you. So that's right. Super powerful, empowering. I love that understanding. So let me ask, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. Your child is now 22 months. When did you return to work?
I returned, I've been back to work for about a month and a half now.
Full time.
So she was, full time. So she was 21 months when I went back to work full time.
Okay. Okay. And how was that transition? Because
we're still
because I'm like, well, you know, to be totally around you 24/7 and then for you to be away from her a full-time day, right? Like, how are you guys managing even during the transition?
It's definitely a challenge, and I say we're still in it because my husband and I, because we work together as a team, as partners. And I would say, you know, we're still in the transition process because we're still experimenting with what works, what doesn't work. But it's been a little bit of a challenge, just not for me, like not being available for her during the day and for her, you know, missing me, you know, and not me not being there. And just knowing that someone else is kind of, she's in daycare now and someone else, you know, taking over that mothering role when she's in school. So it's been a little bit of a challenge, but I will say that breastfeeding has been one of the things that has been like a glue for us. You know, it's our foundation. It's our connection. It's a grounding force for us. So when I'm gone all day and I pick her up and we go home, that's the first thing we do. Yeah. That's the first thing she wants.
Right.
And I know that. So I'm already prepared to make time in my day for as soon as we get home, we dedicate at least, you know, half hour to just us being together and me breastfeeding. And it's really a great opportunity for us to connect, to reconnect and just be grounded. And then also she still nurses through the night.
Okay.
And I understand it's a challenge for me, for us. But it also, I think me being back to work full time, it's even more necessary now. So she can have more opportunities to get the milk, but also because I'm not there a lot of the day. So this is her opportunity to really be close to me for a long stretch of time. You know, we don't stop being parents when everyone goes to sleep. And that's part of, again, attachment theory, that we're parents all the time. We parent at night, we parent during the day. And so I understand that. And as challenging as it is, I know that it's a benefit even more now that I'm back to work.
Absolutely. I'm glad you highlighted the fact that you schedule time after work when you pick her up from school to just to sit with her, to lay with her, or to nurse her, to look at each other's eyes, to feel each other's comfort and warmth. And you actually deliberately, consciously schedule in that time. I'm sure she appreciates that after school, after not being with you all day. Yeah.
And to be honest, it's nice for me too, because we do, we lay down, we lay together, you know, I'm tired from a long day of work. So it's recharging for me also.
Yes.
You know, we just cuddle. And so it makes me slow down. You know, we have a tendency, especially in, you know, this like just work, do. And we have a tendency to just, you know, come home from work and jump into the next thing. oftentimes yes. as women, as mothers. So it forces me to stop and slow down and rest.
Indeed, how needed. It's beautiful how things just kind of fall into their rightful place, right? When we listen to the natural order, to our, you know, intuition, when we are paying attention, when we're able to really pay attention to our needs, to our children's needs, it schedules in that time that we need to regroup, to center ourselves. So in terms of being at work, right? Before we talk about balancing everything out, are you pumping throughout the day? Has your workplace established a space for you to pump when you need to pump throughout the day, as has been regulated?
Yeah.
And I mean, really, as I was doing my research, I found, you know, after the year, workplaces with over 50 employees aren't necessarily required to make that space.
Okay. But, I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So the federal law basically states for the first year, they're required to make a space for the nursing mom to go and pump, you know, with no interruptions. They don't necessarily have to pay that time, but they do have to create the space and excluding any bathrooms.
Right.
After the year, though, they're not necessarily required to do so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, things might vary from state to state.
Yeah.
But my question to you is, how do you maintain your supply? I'm sure you're pumping because we've had conversations, but to sisters about how are you pumping, where are you pumping, and how is that working out for you?
Yeah. So I'm very fortunate, I'll say. First, I think the field that I'm in tends to be more forgiving and understanding of people who have families and their family needs, being that I'm in the social service field, as opposed to maybe somebody who might be in the business world. And then in my workplace in particular, I have my own office and my door locks, and I have, you know, one window on my door, and I just cover the window and I just pump in my office. I'm able to kind of create my schedule. So I'm able to pump when I need to pump pretty much. And at this point in our breastfeeding journey and in my pumping journey, I can pretty much do it in 10-15 minutes. So I can, from start to finish, get the pump out, put it away. And we have a refrigerator. I can keep the milk in the refrigerator.
Yes.
And so I just keep it in the refrigerator till it's time to go home. So I really only pump once throughout the day because that's really all that's needed at this point. And that seems to keep the milk supply up. It seems to be working. I just pump once. And when I first started here and I told my supervisor that I was going to need to pump, she was kind of like, we had staff members in the past where they went. And I was like, well, I was just going to do it in my office. She was like, oh yeah, that's right. You can do it in your office.
But they got a little nervous.
A little flustered. Yeah. I think when you say the word breastfeeding, everyone now is a little like, we got to make sure that, you know, we accommodate you.
Thankfully so.
Yeah, exactly.
Thankfully.
Sometimes I will be honest, sometimes bringing my milk and storing in the fridge, I store it like in the back of the fridge and I put something in front of it, like, and because I don't know, I feel a little bit funny about people seeing my breast milk in there. And that's something I'm trying to actually work through in myself, of just being more open, because I do think that's important actually for our society to be able to move forward with accepting breastfeeding and empowering breastfeeding moms, is for it to become more normalized.
Absolutely.
And for people to see breastfeeding mothers, breastfeeding equipment, you know, out in public and it be okay.
Yes. That's funny, because we do have to work on ourselves first, check ourselves, our thinking, our mindset, you know, and break through these societal norms so that we can create a whole new reality for folks to be more accepting this very normal practice.
That's right.
yeah. That's awesome. But yeah, show that milk in that refrigerator, girl. Yes. Let them see that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So now you have a lot going on. How are you balancing, you know, being a mom and working full time, coming home, taking that break to be with your toddler, to nurse and to cuddle and what have you? I mean, taking care of your family, the other children, because teenagers have needs too. The older children have needs. And then taking care of your husband. Right. Are you cooking regularly?
It's always a balancing act. It's always, I think what helps me get through is really communicating. And my husband, he's really amazing. And one thing that I'll say that going back to work has done in a positive way is I think that it's made my husband and I work together more as a team, because we have to. Because before it was, you know, I took care of all of the baby's needs because I was home most of the time. I was still working part-time, but mostly home. And so I took care of, you know, everything pretty much in the home. And now my husband and I have to work more together as a team. And he's really stepped up and taken that role on. So just us communicating has really helped. You know, sometimes I'll have the teenagers make a meal. Sometimes we might eat out. Most times I strive to cook, because that's part of, you know, our values is eating home cooked healthy foods that we where we know what the ingredients are. So it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act because everyone has their own needs. You know, being that the teenagers are older, their needs are a little different and they are more independent, but they still have needs and they still need to be monitored. A lot of it is, you know, talking with them oftentimes on the breast, you know, and they just know, you know, it's just what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
My husband and I have made a lot of adjustments. You know, we just communicate throughout the day, maybe while I'm commuting home or he's on the road, you know, we touch base, you know, we try to find time for each other on the weekends, even if it is with the baby in tow, you know, just doing things together, help each other.
Right. Definitely a partnership. I think that that really solidifies the idea in terms of sharing responsibilities, communicating as things come up, as things evolve, as people's needs, our children's needs come up, and each other's needs come up. I'm glad you make some time for each other. During our interview, we experienced a little bit of technical difficulties, so I had to paraphrase some of the powerful tips that were shared. Make sure you are making time to nurture your relationship. Sometimes a baby does throw everything out of order inside the home, right? And to be able to maintain some kind of order and help your relationship stay lit with love, right? You want to create space and create time to cultivate that love with your partner, with your husband, right? You definitely want to make space for that, because they be missing us when we are loving up on our babies. It's a fact. I've heard it from the mouth of men. True indeed. So make that time. As we moved along the interview with Sister Malkia, I asked her, what advice does she give to other mothers who are breastfeeding and are looking to either return to work on a part-time basis or a full-time basis? And she mentioned a lot of helpful tips, some of them including, don't give up. Do not be discouraged. It is challenging. It is draining. You may be up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, tending to the baby who needs to nurse or needs to be comforted, and then wake up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning to prepare to go to work. So it is a draining process, but you are a warrior. You are a breastfeeding warrior. Although it is not easy, it is well worth it. Make sure you pull in all individuals that are part of your support system. Call upon your mate, your partner, your husband, your king, your other half, your significant other, your better, whatever. And take breaks on a regular basis, whether it is to go jump in a hot bath, take a walk, take a breath of fresh air, rejuvenate yourself, and try to do so on a regular basis. And draw upon those family members, friends, you know, sisters, those that are part of your support system. Know that it is a sacrifice. It is a temporary sacrifice for yourself and your family. But it will not last forever, right? Yes, I love that. A temporary sacrifice for a lifelong impact. I love that. And how it is a family sacrifice. Because sometimes we only think about ourselves because we're giving our whole bodies, you know, our whole selves 24 hours a day to the child. But in fact, it is a whole family sacrifice. Definitely. When I asked Sister Malkia, what does she do to take care of herself? What does her self-care routine look like? She did admit that that area needs a little help, but some of the things that she does enjoy are meditation, yoga, spending time in nature, taking walks, something as simple as reading, going to get a manicure, a pedicure, and also just making time to go watch a funny show. Like sometimes she might have dishes in the sink, she might have to fold some clothes, but instead she will make a conscious decision to go on and get a cup of tea, sit down and watch a funny episode of something or other, just to give herself that moment, and then go ahead and pick up wherever she left off, whatever needs to get done, so that she can make sure at the end of her day she has at least 20 minutes of a break. Decide on what small thing you can do for yourself on a daily basis, on what medium thing you can do on a weekly basis, and what nice and big, chunky, juicy thing you could do on a monthly basis to help maintain your self-care. I love that. Thank you for that. All right, sis. Well, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your experience, all that you have shared, bringing us into your home for this little bit of time. I'm sure those that are listening have gained a lot from what you have shared. Is there anything else you would like to add on, or anything else you would like to say before we wrap up our conversation?
I want to give thanks to you, sis, for having this platform. This was actually really therapeutic for me. And I know that it's going to be really beneficial to all the other women out there who are breastfeeding moms or who are planning to be breastfeeding moms. Because this really is information that's not really out there. Just information, experiences, you know, what it's really like to breastfeed a toddler and be a working mom. So I really give thanks to you for this platform, for having this for us and for all the other women out there. Peace and blessings.
Yes, I am so thankful right now. I am in this beautiful space of gratitude, giving thanks for this moment and Sister Malkia, who joined us today and shared her experiences and by inviting us into her home. I appreciate this moment, and I appreciate you all, the listeners who stuck with us, who listened through to this very moment. If you like what you heard, hit that subscribe button and drop a review if you're on iTunes. Help this station grow. Help us tell our stories. Help us break down boundaries and barriers and allow us to heal collectively, to grow collectively. All right. If you would like to be featured, if you'd like to have a conversation and be added to our breastfeeding diary so that your story may be heard, feel free to connect with me across media platforms. You can find me at Fruits of Life Yoga. That's Fruits of Life Yoga. I look forward to hearing from you and vibing with you and seeing how we will grow together and how we will express resources and different lessons that we've gained through our experiences. All right. Until then, breathe deeply. Notice your breath. Be with your breath. be in peace and love, and let's get it.